Welcome to Worst Case Scenario, a podcast about anxiety. I'm one of your hosts, Yusung.
I'm your other host, Rebecca.
And how this podcast works is that every week, one of us will bring in something we're anxious about, and then we'll read a scene we've written that's the worst case scenario for that anxiety. Rebecca.
Yeah.
I'm a little more jittery than usual.
Yeah, you seem like, you seem a little caffeinated or something.
Yeah, well, that's it's because we have our guest.
Yeah, we have a guest.
I wrote an introduction for our guests, and then I ran it by you, and you did not like it.
Oh, wait, man, I want to hear both versions.
I don't think you did.
Okay, well.
Did you have a dream about this?
No, I don't think you
sent it to me.
No, but, like, I remember, okay.
You know, sometimes I think through conversations with people in my head, and it's so vivid because I'm so crazy and I spend so much time in my daydream world that I think I have had these conversations, and I feel like you did that with this, because I don't think you said this to me.
I do remember you rolling your eyes, but please know
I probably wasn't listening. I probably just a reflex.
Okay, well, I'm never gonna get to say these words again, so here we go.
Okay.
He's a contemporary in the podcast scene.
Oh, I do remember this.
Okay, I'm rolling my eyes too. I understand.
Okay, you know him as Chef Kevin from Hollywood Handbook, who charted in a lot of other Earwolf podcasts. Chef Kevin Bartelt is here.
Thank you very much. How's it going?
Welcome.
Welcome to the
show. I've never heard such a upbeat, excited intro for a show about like mental health.
Yeah.
It's an act.
It is. Yusung greeted me at the door and said, hey, it's so nice to meet you. Don't worry, I just washed my hands.
No, wait. Let me explain. My hand was very, very wet.
Yeah, it was totally dry. He did not need to say anything.
Okay, well,
that's
this is
very on brand.
Yeah. No, this
I'm
is.
I'm surprised. I would expect that he would greet you at the door and say, "Thank you, sorry." Say, "Thank you, sorry."
Can I be very candid with you guys?
Please.
I started this podcast to boost my self image, and
what?
No.
Cool.
Okay. This is our first guest on the show.
Yeah.
Expectations are high. For me, not for anyone else.
I'll
for your performance
them.
Or your expectations are high.
He was looking in a mirror.
just to start it all off, like when we started the podcast, Rebecca and I asked each other, like, do you remember like the lowest point, like the most anxious you were ever? Do you have a moment like that? This is a very intense question, but do you remember like a moment where you were like the most anxious, like you couldn't get out of bed or?
Yes, I was in college. I feel like a lot of people's anxiety stories start
with
that.
Yeah, Yusung and I just nodded at each other.
Yeah, we've heard this one. Yeah. But sometimes I get very uncomfortable or very anxious in like theaters or public spaces, specifically, just all the time I do, but specifically when there's people like loud or disruptive, like in an environment where they're not supposed to be.
Yeah.
And because you can't do anything, you just have to like sit there. And so I went to a theater show in college, and the people behind me were so like disruptive and loud, and I couldn't do anything. And I just got more and more and more anxious.
Oh my God.
I think someone told them like to be quiet. I think I said something as well. But the whole show they weren't. And then at one point I walked to the bathroom, went into like the stall, and hyperventilated and just kind of like collapsed.
Oh my god. Do you remember what the production was of?
No. I couldn't focus. Like I just get so in my head. And I think for me, anxiety a lot of the time is your brain running wild because no one can give you a reality check. And so a lot of times like in that situation, no one can say like, gosh, those guys are so annoying, like kind of like whisper it or something. Everyone just has to sit there and act like they're...
Oh, it's so much worse.
Oh, yeah. I hate it, yeah.
Just because you feel so powerless.
Yeah, and that's why when I started going to like UCB and comedy shows and it would happen, it would blow my mind because like, you know, stand-ups like destroy hecklers and improvisers will do scenes like around them. And so that was kind of... that was like fun and different and exciting to me because... It still makes me so uncomfortable to this day, but then seeing people like call it out, I was like, "Oh, this is you can do that."
Yeah, it's a way of like taking back your control.
Yeah. Are you more concerned with like you're concerned with how the actors will like if their feelings will be hurt, or is it just like they're ruining the experience for everyone?
Both, I think. It's like disrespectful And that really bothers me. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So this actually is all triggered from a childhood experience at a restaurant.
Oh my God.
Where it was like a big family dinner. There was like 15 relatives and there was like four very loud drunk guys just swearing the whole time. And I remember being old enough to know like, this is uncomfortable. And then like my dad and uncle were like, hey, can you guys like keep it down? And they were like, no.
Oh, my God.
My God.
And I just remember.
What a bunch of cool guys.
Yeah, they were awesome. I hope they're doing really well.
Yeah.
And I remember, like, in that moment just being so alarmed by that. I think to this day when I go see, like, things where, like, everyone's supposed to be really quiet. Like, I came straight from the movies this morning. Mm-hmm. And I like going at weird times when there's, like, four people in the audience. Because mm-hmm. when there's, like, a full theater, someone will like pull out their phone or start talking. But yeah, to answer your question, it feels like disrespectful to the performer and to the show as well.
Yeah.
I've talked to people about it who say like, well, you know, a good performer is so in the moment that they don't really hear it. I'm like, no, but I hear it.
Yeah, exactly. Like, but okay, but so as an audience member, I guess fuck me then.
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
Right. Yeah.
Who's sitting right next to me or behind me.
Would you still describe yourself like as an anxious person now?
I feel like I've been getting a little bit better with it. I started doing like a lot last year, not as much now, but yoga and meditation and using, what's that app called? Headspace.
Yeah.
Use Headspace.
Yeah. Rebecca and I just gave a look at each other of extreme guilt.
Because I talk about how I want to get back into doing yoga probably every episode.
Yeah.
Because when I was doing it regularly, I felt really good.
Yeah. I meditated a handful of times. Yeah. So it helped.
Yeah.
I was so bad at it, like comically bad. The teacher would go through each student and say like a thing that they were doing well. Whenever she got to me, she'd be like, and Kevin, your hands look good.
Oh my God.
I was like, what?
I remember in middle school, there was like a guided meditation class one day, just for one day in PE. And I remember, I think I like didn't sleep much the night before, but I remember thinking my whole body was tense. And I was like, if I listen to this guided meditation tape and do what they say, which is not think at all, I might as well be dead. There'll be no difference. And so for those 40 minutes, I did not.
That's a great attitude.
I'm dying. Yusan's having a panic attack in the back.
Yeah.
That's great. Have you ever been in therapy?
Yes. In college, I went probably four or five times.
Mm-hmm.
Something I get anxious about, not as much like currently right now, but I did a lot in college and probably throughout my life if like my mom was listening. She'd be like, well, a little more than that, is relationships. Mm-hmm. Like I panic that I'm like, oh, what if I'm being a horrible boyfriend or something like that? And I often... connect my self-worth as like how I'm doing in a relationship.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't really do that as much. I don't think I'm doing that right now because it's really like unhealthy. But in college, I was just dating someone who was very intense and it put me in a place where I was like, I want this to work, but this feels unhealthy. So I started seeing a therapist who really showed me like, you know, I think sometimes in like with relationship therapy, in my experience, your brain goes, well, I'm obviously the victim. Because I was like, well, she's doing this and she's doing this. And the therapist was like, yeah, that sucks. You know, are you sleeping? And I'm like, well, you know, here and there. And so like it was really helpful to like look at myself and like my own mental health, because you know, like that cliche of like you need to love yourself before you love someone else.
Yeah,
I think therapy like shows you that a lot.
Yeah.
Well, she's here today. Come on in. Because we've never had a guest on, Kevin has an anxiety to share and a scene, but that'll be in the second half of the episode. I don't mean to...
Yeah.
We can do it now if you want.
Such a tease.
I think I literally wrote a stage direction that is something I said like 2 minutes ago as well.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Okay, then let's do Kevin's first.
Okay.
See,
okay.
Here, worst case scenario,
we're flying by the seat of our pants.
Yeah. So Kevin will read the stage directions, and as per his wishes, I will be playing the part of Kevin, and Rebecca will be playing the part of Emma.
Okay, great.
Okay, you guys ready?
Mm-hmm.
Interior, Kevin's apartment, day. Kevin wakes up to a phone call from his very real girlfriend, Emma Watson.
Hello?
Hi, Kevin. It's me, your very real girlfriend, Emma Watson.
Hey, Emma. How's it going?
There's a long pause. Kevin thinks for a moment that the phone disconnected.
Hello?
Do you know how you said you were going to take a break from reading all those anxiety books because they were starting to give you too much anxiety?
Yeah.
Well, I think maybe we should do the same.
Wait, what?
Yeah, it's just...
Kevin receives a text from Sean, a host from a podcast he works on. The message reads, "Where are you? We're outside the building with a guest, Joe Pera. Joe Pera, your favorite person in the whole world who you've always wanted to meet." Kevin panics because he forgot he was supposed to record a show this morning.
Hello.
Hi, sorry. What'd you say?
Are you joking me?
No, I'm so sorry. Sean just texted me that I'm supposed to be there. I completely forgot. You know what? That doesn't matter.
It definitely does.
What were you saying?
Look, we're both obviously very busy right now, and I need the weekend to myself. I don't know how I feel about us. Goodbye.
She hangs up. Kevin receives another text from Sean. Never mind, Kev. We texted Sam, and he's going to engineer it. It's awesome how reliable he is.
Damn it.
Kevin's alone with his thoughts for the next 72 hours. He spends most of it panicking, specifically by equating himself and the relationship to his value as a human being.
Damn it.
Emma Watson dumps Kevin to be with her actual boyfriend, Cord Overstreet.
Fuck you, Cord Overstreet.
Insane.
Is she actually dating Cord Overstreet?
Yeah.
Why?
Wow.
I don't know.
That's
oh my God.
Bullshit.
This is incredible because...
That's
never,
amazing.
Never before have I connected anyone. I know this wasn't the point of the scene, but perhaps your career in the podcast industry getting in the way of your romantic and interpersonal relationships. It's just interesting to hear that out loud.
It's like the most specific
story.
It's very relatable in this room.
Yeah.
this is the
right potentially
audience.
Globally.
Exactly. So yeah, this is loosely really based on a real story. I changed one of the names in particular.
Not Emma Watson, though. That's the real one.
Yeah, I changed Sean's name.
Yeah, of course.
From Scott. like 4 or 5 months ago, I was dumped in a similar situation that was like, hey, we should take a break. And then for like 3 days, there was no communication. And then like on that Monday, she broke up with me. Mm. The Sean thing is completely made up, but I do think there is like truth. We're talking specifically about podcast producers, but
right.
Just in the general sense of like trying to balance work and relationships can be pretty difficult. And
I'm so self-conscious. I didn't be like Harmon text. Like I didn't write that in my script, but that's okay.
But I think the worst thing for an anxious person is to be told like you need to be alone with your thoughts, essentially.
It doesn't feel helpful.
So is the anxiety specifically like not being able to sustain a relationship because of it, or because work and other stuff gets in the way?
I think in this situation it was like that relationship ended more because it was like long distance and wasn't really going to work. Mm-hmm. But there is like kind of just a perpetual fear of, am I giving a person not enough attention, too much attention? For me, anxiety often perpetuates itself in isolation where like in this situation was like horrible because it was like Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and Monday just being like completely alone, just assuming the worst and then the worst happening. I feel like I'm really leaning into relationship anxiety, which I don't really associate myself with as much after that whole experience. A lot of the time it is like career stuff of like, am I doing the right thing? Should I be writing or playing music or living in LA? Right. And so I kind of joke that I love going on walks at night and it's so therapeutic to me.
Yeah. Yusung goes on morning walks sometimes.
Yeah. I like morning, just walks in general are very therapeutic to me.
They really are.
I don't know. My true impulse was like, Rebecca, tell him that I go on morning walks.
I know. Yeah. I could feel you thinking that. So
you feel the energy shift to tell him I do that thing instead of him going, yeah, same. But they're relaxing to me because I can kind of be alone and calm down. Even if I'm not stressed, I can still calm down.
Yeah.
However, a handful of times I will be thinking about like, oh, how's my life going right now? And so a walk will turn into a panic attack. Because if I'm not there, it just keeps coming back to like, if I'm not there with like another person who's like, dude, no, you're fine. You're totally doing fine. Your brain just goes to like, you know, how cheap is it to live in Montana? Like,
yeah. No, I
there are some states that like pay you to live there so that yeah. like they want to bring artists to places. So like yeah. Arkansas or something, like yeah. they'll pay you $2,000 a month or something to like, I don't know if this is accurate anymore, but I remember in college, right. one of my friends was like, wait, all of us should like move into a house in Arkansas. They're going to pay us. We're going to like make our art. Everything's going to be great. And we'll save up. And I was like, you're so high. I can't. Yeah, I don't know. But it does sound kind of utopia.
That sounds amazing. Yeah. And that's the thing I will tell myself.
Yeah.
Right.
You know, probably my next panic attack. You know, they pay artists in some states to live there.
A frequent thought that I'll have on my morning walks is that like I'll turn the corner around my block. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of bushes and there's like lizards that like scamper around in the morning.
I'm listening.
And I was like, I see these lizards more than I do some like of my close friends. Like, I was like,
wow.
Yeah, this is probably unsustainable. But I that is a lifestyle. But I do think that like walks in general are super, super relaxing.
It's better than like sitting on the couch and stewing in your own like destructive thoughts, I think. I mean, for me, because my instinct is to just sit in one place and just be upset.
Absolutely. I love getting out of my apartment yeah. for that reason. Occasionally what happens though, it's like those thoughts can still follow you like out of your apartment.
And then you're not even home and then you're like, now I'm in this fucking street and I'm panicking.
Yeah, I have no idea where I am.
Like you're walking, you're like, did I black out? I don't know.
Yeah. But it's like distracting because yeah. you're looking at wherever street you are. If you're like going on a hike, you can look around there.
Yeah.
And you're outside, which is good.
One time I went for a walk with the true aim of like relaxing and like I didn't bring my phone. I was like specifically not going to bring my phone. And
that seems so unsafe.
I know, but like I was just going to go around to the nearby Urban Outfitters. Look, the details aren't important.
Whoa.
Yeah.
What'd you buy?
No, I didn't buy anything. But I remember like, you know what? I'm going to also leave my glasses at home.
What?
For some reason, this was like in line.
I have three shots of tequila.
Wait a second. Were you wearing contact lenses?
No. I don't own contact lenses.
Wait. Sorry,
so
I'm
was
so
just
confused.
Like, it was just like, I was probably insane because I'd been like alone for a while and I was like, I don't want technology and I don't want glasses because glasses like
hit
felt
by
like,
a car.
No, I know. Like in retrospect, it was so dumb because I took like, I was like halfway there when I realized I can't see. Like,
how is it only dumb in yeah. retrospect? It's dumb the moment you take off your glasses and start walking outside your home.
Look.
I do a similar thing where I brought my iPod Touch home from like grade school or high school or whatever and was mm-hmm. like, oh, I'll start going on walks with a thing that's not my phone because mm-hmm. yeah. I love listening to music, but it's part of my phone, so I always have it. And so I was like, oh, I'll go start going on these walks where I have something where I can leave my phone at home.
Yeah.
But also it did start to feel dangerous and I kept my contacts in so I could see where
yeah.
I was going.
I mean, I don't know. Maybe this is like, I don't want to genderize things, but like for me, I would feel very unsafe
oh,
walking
for sure.
around
oh,
yeah, yeah. early morning or nighttime without any means of contacting the police or
yeah.
actually fuck the police or family.
Right.
Yeah. yeah it's really yeah, easy you know as I mean? A dude to be like, oh, and then I just
yeah.
leave all my belongings
yeah. just,
and walk
like,
at night.
I took off all my clothes and I wore a big sign that says fuck me in the
yeah,
asshole and
yeah.
I walked around without my phone.
I guess people like, it caught people's attention.
People respected me.
I'm glad you guys are getting along.
Don't not wear your glasses when you walk
inside. No.
I hope this what happens when you have guests. It's just two people bowling.
That's
one.
My worst nightmare.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Rebecca bullies me.
Yeah.
And to the point where I was like, Rebecca and I were discussing the idea of like, maybe we'll do a segment where it's like, you song ask Rebecca to say something nice about him. Just because like, just to see if that
I can do it.
Could happen.
So, I can do it. You fucking watch me do it.
Okay,
I'll do it.
Well,
not
well,
right now because I didn't prepare, but sometime.
You watch me do it. Give me 4 weeks.
I'll check back in yeah. a few episodes.
It'll be
three more writers
voice
and
memo because I can't yeah. look at you.
Don't talk to me at work for like 2 weeks and then I'll be able to, you know.
Yeah, and it'll be in the inflection.
Makes,
it'll be like,
yeah.
hey, and yeah. that'll be the content.
Yeah.
Hey, it's you.
Yeah. Kevin, are you trying to date now or are you trying to focus on yourself?
Yeah, I'm in a relationship right now.
Okay.
And
congratulations.
Thanks. It's new. We've just been dating for like a couple of weeks right now. Mm-hmm. But we've known each other for like two, three months, I guess. Wow. So yeah, that's been going great. I'm trying to do both because I think, you know, people should know if they're not in a place to be dating. However, that can be the perfect excuse to never date. Mm. I have friends that have been saying for 5 years, well, I'm just focusing on me right now. Mm-hmm. And I believe that they are, but it's also a great excuse to not meet new people. Yeah. So.
Definitely, yeah. Yeah, I think it can start off like from a good place and then you get maybe scared.
Mm-hmm.
To go out of your comfort zone or be rejected or something.
Yeah, and then the inverse of that, people stay in relationships too long because also, yeah. for that reason, where they're like, well, I'm fine.
Right.
Yeah.
It's like fear of being alone then.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Fear of being alone or, if you're single, fear of like taking a chance.
Yeah.
Both of them are fear of taking a chance, I guess.
Yeah. Definitely.
I feel truly like a little stunned because we all happen to produce podcasts and the things that we're saying feel like...
What a coincidence.
Well, we have always,
yeah.
but it just existed in a vacuum. And like the things, even the things that you're saying now about like not wanting to date because using it as an excuse because you're scared felt too real.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't think it has anything to do with the fact that we all produce podcasts. I think it's just a human thing.
No, only podcast producers
only
know that.
They
only have fear of rejection.
When your Pro Tools files get corrupted?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh.
Am I right?
Yeah.
This one
Is this
of
relatable?
Two people yeah, knows what I'm talking about.
Well, it's great that you're in a relationship. Did you like you were saying earlier that like and I have the same thought of like when I first meet someone, I always think like how often do I text this person?
Yeah.
And I'm like, why am I even considering this? Because it did you figure that out or did you have like a I don't know if people ever have explicit conversations about like how much do you want to communicate? Like
yeah, we didn't have that conversation. I think we both were in a headspace of we just wanted to like be ourselves. And so I feel like right off the bat, we were texting a lot. We were hanging out a lot because I think there is a pressure to be like cool and not reach out too much. You know, that being said, don't go too much the other way and like, okay, another 6 hour phone call.
Yeah. Right.
Because like that can crash and burn pretty quickly. But I think just like the chemistry off of our first two or three dates, I was just like, oh, this feels like we can just be ourselves, text each other when we want to mm-hmm. without it being like too much. And I think there is like subtle ways of saying that too, of like, oh my God, I feel so bad I'm talking to you all the time, which is kind of like seeing what the other person says.
It's just like, no, it's great.
Yeah.
Or if they're like, yeah, no, it's all good. You can tell like, oh, okay, I should back off. I think both of us said that in our own ways. Like, oh, sorry. I know I've seen you like 3 days in the last week or something. Oh no, I like that. Yeah. So we're like, oh, cool. So I don't think it comes off that directly of like, oh, am I talking to you like that blunt? But no, like that is an important part. That's what we discussed with like my therapist like 5 years ago, was just how important communication was.
Yeah.
Because a lot of like what the therapist was bringing back to me was like, you're not communicating this stuff.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And so I think it was like, I thought I was communicating it. And so there's a way to go about being like honest without making yourself feel like uncomfortable.
Yeah.
Which I think is all about the, you know, like taking a chance thing. You have to take chances like in relationships too, or just like work friendships if something's making you uncomfortable, just saying like, you know, finding the point of, does it reach the point of uncomfortableness mm-hmm. that like now you need to say something.
Right.
So I think a lot of people just think like, oh, that person does that thing and I'm just going to bury it. Yeah. Until like 6 months in where I'm like, it, you know, it drives me crazy.
Yeah. And it's like you're keeping, when you keep it in like that, that's what makes you feel like unstable because you're having conversations with yourself and you're not.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that's a thing that didn't work in my last relationship that I think is working very well in this is like, And we've only known each other like a few months, but if there's like a small thing that either of us like say or does that like bothers us, we just say like right in that moment.
That's what I do too. I've done that. I've been in a relationship for a very long time and we've like done that from the beginning.
The thing is like leaving a cup on the table without a coaster. Like how would you explicitly like, hey, it makes me upset.
I love that that's your example.
Yeah.
I was trying to think of like the least
the most
personal.
Innocuous.
Yeah. I think it's just like immediately saying like, hey, I really, that's so tough because it's not a thing that I would.
But okay, I'm imagining you in this situation where you would look at it and you would be like, oh god, it's so annoying, it's fucking annoying, then why would she do that, like so inconsiderate, like I would never do that, like what do I say, I don't want her to think I'm crazy, like could you use a coaster?
Again, like, started the podcast to boost my public image. Yes. No, but that's my I know that's a huge flaw of mine. I can't like, I'm very, I have truly gotten better. Like there are moments where I can like rise above it, swallow my pride and be like, hey, I'm so sorry. Would you mind using a coaster? Like
And I think like you just said, like saying the, like literally, I know this sounds ridiculous it's like.
But it bothers me.
Yeah, it's so, like an obsessive compulsive thing that I have, but yeah, I can't like not think about the coaster.
And I think people are like, when you're just casual about it and you don't make a big thing out of it, it doesn't have to be like a source of like people are pretty accommodating.
Yeah, for sure.
Like people don't like actively want to make other people uncomfortable.
Right.
In like their daily.
Unfortunately, that was a really good impression of me.
Thank you. We spent a lot of time together.
Yeah, we spent a lot of time together.
And I think that's a really telling thing too of if you are with a person that takes a comment like that and they kind of laugh and go like, god, you're ridiculous, but yeah, absolutely, no problem.
Yeah, yeah.
And
that's
just kind of like, and say like, yeah, for sure.
But if the person is like, oh god, you're so whatever, then fuck that person.
Or even like way more subtle, like, okay.
Yeah, exactly. Like making up, like huffing and puffing about it. Yeah.
It's cool that you guys are getting along.
Oh my god, you're so insecure.
Are you talking about watching from another room?
There's a point.
Would you mind leaving?
No,
yeah,
no,
we're really connecting.
Yeah,
as you guys were saying things in unison, I was just imagining you guys getting coffee afterwards. I was just like, oh man.
Neither of us using coasters.
Just being like laughing, like, haha, look, I wish you could see the rings on this table.
Yeah. It's disgusting. It's dripping wet. We're just moving
we're
the
just,
cups
like, rubbing
all
our bare
over.
Hands on the table, on the coffee shop table, all the germs.
Yeah,
he's very germophobic. He should know that about him.
Oh my god. Okay, well, we'll be right back after a quick break. Welcome back.
Hi.
All right, so it's now my turn to do my anxiety.
We're all still here.
No one left.
We got a huge.
You came back in the room.
Yeah.
Rebecca and I finished our coffees.
Yeah. It's ironic because I feel like this is like the end. Pretty much something that we've hinted at this whole time we've been talking. But my anxiety this week is that I do not know how to have fun. I don't. And this is a sticking point between.
I relate to that.
Yeah. We go on morning walks. Okay.
We got all these other. He has a list of things we have in common. Rebecca and I have 4 pages, and right now it's morning walks.
4 pages, like college ruled. Like we were really
small.
But this is like a sticking point between my therapist and I, where she's like, "Why don't you ever do anything nice for yourself?" I'm like, "I don't even know. Like, I don't
It's your therapy session. She's just accusing you of things. She's like, "Stop, mom."
She's like, "Have fun."
She's like, "I just want you to be happy."
I don't know. It's not exactly like that, but like, she will just say like, "You should do something for yourself. Like, what are some ways you can do?" And I don't know. Like, Rebecca knows this, but I spent too much time watching other people play video games on the internet.
Sure.
But you like that.
But it's like,
okay.
Yeah, but it's hard to delineate like when you're doing that out of like pure anxiety or when you're actually like mindfully watching someone play a video game. So
is that possible?
I don't even know. Okay. Like, yeah. So and another thing was like, I think it was like the way that I was raised, but I have like a fear of spending money. Like I can't.
For sure.
Yeah, me too.
Like we have those at home, meaning like clothes.
100%.
Like everything. Even things that I don't have at home, I have at home. Like,
yeah.
Right.
So I'll hesitate a lot when like, I don't need a coffee right now. Like I don't need to go to Uniqlo right now. I don't.
Dude, the last time I was taking a really long walk, like not long ago, a few days ago, and it was so hot outside.
Yeah.
And I was so thirsty, and I passed by 3 Starbucks and 2 7-Elevens each time, thinking like, it's fine, I'll be at work soon, I can get free water, free water, free water. And then I was like, I'm gonna die. I need some fucking water. It's $1.50. Like,
yeah.
I think my suggestion is, I feel like a lot of ways to for introverts to have fun is, and I know it just sounds like, oh, spending time alone, but watching the video games, even if it's like Twitch or something, with another person in the room.
Oh.
Because I think when you're like connecting with someone, it's even if you're not saying anything, I think that's a really fun way to like have a conversation, to laugh at whatever it is.
Totally.
I
mean, the amount of times that like my friends and I have just sat around just watching YouTube videos like of random shit, I could do it alone, but it's like fun with other people too.
Yeah, and like so many of my friends and I will hang out. We will scroll through the Netflix thumbnails for an hour.
Yeah.
We won't watch anything.
Just making fun of the thumbnail.
And then everyone goes home.
Like, that sounds like amazing. my roommate, I hope you don't mind me saying this. I'm not going to name him, but
does he listen to the podcast?
No.
Oh, okay.
He's
then
a YouTuber.
Mind.
He makes car videos. He's a very down to earth, very, very good guy to live with. But he and his friends, who also make YouTube videos, will just sit around like reading mean comments people have written. And I was like, that's a sense of community that I would like to feel one day.
Mm-hmm.
The unfortunate thing is, like, since I moved to LA, while I have made friends, it's like I would feel like I don't ever know if I could, like, I'm trying to run through like the Rolodex of friendship in my mind, and I was like, I can't ask any of these people to watch video games with me. Like,
I'll watch video games with you.
There you go.
Oh
my god.
Just
this
threw
podcast,
up in his
this podcast
lap.
Is
You just threw up on all of the things Rebecca and I have in common together.
Oh, God. Good thing I have 3 copies of this in my backpack.
Yeah.
Because we talked about it beforehand because we're best friends.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Look, please don't judge me for asking this. Is it hot in here? Or am I just sweating a lot?
It's a little bit of both.
Okay, great. Okay, cool. Would we want to read my scene and then continue talking about it?
I want nothing more.
Okay, I'll read the stage directions and the part of Yusung. Rebecca, if you want to be friend 1. Kevin, if you want to be friend 2.
Great.
Okay. Wow, thanks for making me friend 1.
Nice. Made the cut.
Exterior, upstate New York, backyard, night. Yusung and 2 friends are sitting on a porch as a small campfire burns in a fire pit 10 feet away. They're in their 40s now, reminiscing about their 20s. It's an atmosphere where sentimentality is breathed in and out as easily as cool air on a long summer night.
Fuck off.
Okay.
Sorry.
All right.
And then there was Adam's birthday when I blacked out.
I remember you getting sick in the bathroom and saying, I deserve this, over and over.
They share a laugh.
Friend-
All right. Friend 1 looks at Yusung.
Wait, where were you that night?
Oh, I think it was probably at home.
Huh. Oh my God, do you remember when we all went to Joshua Tree?
Yeah, that trip was one of the only times that I've ever woken up high. Yusung, were you...
I think I didn't go to save money.
Huh.
Look, I'm lacking in having those nights you'll never remember with the people you'll never forget.
Did you really just say that?
I don't know. I don't have a lot of experience with this kind of stuff.
Well, let's forget about that and just enjoy the night.
Beat. Wait, do you guys want to go out like to a club or a bar or something?
Tonight? I'm tired.
Yeah, I'm not sure we're the right age to be going out.
Well, what if we make a night of it? Like, this could be a thing. Like, this could be a night you'll never remember with the people you'll never forget.
Please stop saying that.
I'm sorry.
I already did everything I wanted when I was in my 20s.
Hmm.
You seem...
Yeah, I'm upset.
Can I be honest with you? You seem to have all this pent-up, uncomfortable energy because you never got it out of your system.
At this point, it's very misguided. Like, what do you...
I want to buy an Xbox.
Okay, exactly. This is not fun anymore. We're going to leave.
Oh. Friend 1 and friend 2 get into a rocket and fly away because everyone has rockets now.
Ooh,
end scene.
Fun.
Cool. Sci-fi.
Future sounds great.
Yeah, so I'm like, I'm worried, like, because like right now, I don't really like not have fun. I'm not being like, I don't think being irresponsible is fun, but I'm worried that like, I'm not getting like it out of my system and one day I'll be like stuck in a position.
Crazy.
Yeah, I'm going to go crazy. Like,
you'll have like a midlife crisis really hardcore.
Yeah.
I can definitely relate to this because a lot of my friends go to like Santa Monica every weekend.
Yeah.
And so for your listeners who aren't from California, like LA Hollywood area in Santa Monica are, it's like a 45 minute drive.
It's like another planet kind of.
I thought this was a podcast, not a skit of the Californians.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Hey, that was really good.
My East Coast relatives fucking love bringing that shit up to me.
Yeah. Yeah. Is your life just like the Californians?
Do you take the 101 to the 405?
Yeah. Barb, look, I'm doing it again. Check. But I think, and so I get annoyed with them for basically having fun in doing stuff like this, which in reality is not a lot. It's a half a day thing that they do. And so,
do they go to the beach?
They'll go to the beach and then like a bar and then come back and go to bars and stuff. So sometimes I'll join them for like the bar stuff when they're back in a like 4-block radius from where I live. But I think that's the perception, is having fun entails like getting sick in the bathroom and saying I deserve this over and over again.
Which TBH sounds terrible.
That was borrowed from a friend's experience.
I think there's a definite middle ground of finding something like nearby, even if it's at like your apartment, that is like plausible and still fun. This is funny. I didn't plan on, I feel like I'm playing therapist and no one asked for that, but I relate to some of these things so hard. I cannot say like what I did.
Do you think it's because we're all podcast producers or?
Yeah, that we
That's
can't.
That's the baseline why we relate to each other.
That and we can't not give notes.
Yeah. I think also maybe you have you're self-defeating in terms of like, I think you have more friends than you think and more people
For sure.
And also of your friends, I think more of them than you think would be like down and even eager to hang out and do things that you would also want to do if only you would ask. Ugh. And sometimes it's hard because like, I also relate to this because sometimes I feel like people don't, I don't know, I shut myself off a lot and like I distance myself from people because I'm like not actively like naturally that social, but like if people ask me to hang, like I usually will be down. I just like I don't initiate very well, and I feel like it's like hard to initiate. It's hard to be the one to reach out because you feel like people will turn you down. People generally are down to do stuff.
So totally. I think if any of my friends were actually listening to me,
they'd be like, "You dummy!
What the fuck? Like, what do you mean?" I think the thing with bars is that like Rebecca knows this. I have a childishly low alcohol tolerance. Like
mine's not much better, but yours is.
Mine's like pretty bad. Like, and so like I.
Well, you have an allergy.
Yeah.
So it'd still be so hard on yourself.
Right.
Is it a gluten allergy?
I think it's just an alcohol allergy. Mm-hmm. Like I get really flushed and sometimes my skin itches.
That's so sad.
Yeah. And like another thing is that like I was thinking this lately, like when I'm at bars and I'm feeling particularly socially anxious, every time I describe like a night out to one of my friends, I was like, why did it go wrong? Like, I think I was pretty normal. like that type of retroactive justification. I was like, I think I was pretty normal. Probably means that I was just like shoulders tightened, like leaning against a wall. Like I can't like, I have to find something that's not going to bars because like I.
Also like that's not even like the only.
Yeah.
I don't even really like that either that much, like sometimes, but...
Yeah.
See, that's where my like money thing kicks in, where I'm like, why am I spending money on alcohol? Like,
exactly.
I have stuff at home, right. So do my friends.
Yeah.
Because it just so quickly becomes like, okay, that was $75.
Exactly. Yeah, I'm on a self-imposed spending freeze at the moment for a lot of external reasons, that's like the first thing that goes. Like, oh yeah, I'm just not going to buy alcohol when I'm out because I also don't feel like... I never like drink and then later I'm like, I'm glad that happened. Like I'm always like, ugh, I feel like kind of gross now. Like I spent that money I didn't need to spend. I would have been fine if I just like either only had one drink or like had a club soda or whatever. Like, I really don't, I don't know.
I'm very
lucky. Drink at home.
Yeah. I'm very lucky because like my parents, I think they get this hint of how I feel. Jesus, good wording. I just spent so much money on an English major. Okay,
you got this.
we're here for you.
But they're like, you know, you should spend more money. Like you should make sure to eat well.
Oh, that's
and
nice.
Like, yeah. And they're not obviously encouraging me to go out and like go to bars and stuff. But like they're like, you know, just like call taxis when you need it. Please just get good food and like spend some more money.
I'm trying to do that too.
Yeah.
Yeah, my friend recently came into my apartment and described it as like someone who's been in prison for 6 months. Where it's not just four walls now. It's like there's a one poster.
Yeah.
He's like, you've had a college dorm-esque apartment for 3 years, which is true.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's that thing of like, well, if I'm spending money on that, then I am basically wasting it.
That's
yeah.
my instinct too, is that like, I remember like when I was in college, I would never decorate my mm-hmm. rooms, and all my friends would be like, you live like a sociopath. Like, this is not normal. It would be like very barren. And then like, if not for my like partner, like he like is the one who like initiated us like decorating our apartment, because like the first year and a half that we lived there was like nothing on the walls. It was like very grim. I never want to spend money. I'm always paranoid. And also like spending time to like make things look good. Like, I'm just so, my default is to not do that. And when we started doing that, it like changed, like when your living space feels like nice and you're excited to
it's
be
nice.
There, it really like reduced my anxiety for sure. Like,
Yeah.
I'm the
same way, because in college, my freshman year, I lived with one roommate. His name is Kyle. And the whole year we had one decoration, and that was a cardboard sign that said Kyle.
It's beautiful.
It's like young 8-year-old sister made for him, and that was all
That's
we
so
had
funny.
And that was all we needed.
Only time I had a decoration of room was like my last semester of school. We did like an LA semester, and my roommate and I, who I'm still good friends with, we only had a cardboard cutout of the letters KMS, kill myself, and we had that over our beds, and it was really great.
That was the only
time I've ever had any art on the walls.
Just a consistent reminder.
Yeah, but speaking of like doing nice things for yourself, like the last time I was in therapy and talking about my financial problems, and I was talking about how like I always used to feel guilty, like even just going to movies because it's so expensive, and then I got MoviePass, and now I just like take myself to the movies all the time. I'll go alone, and it's just like, feels like I'm treating myself and I'm not spending money.
Yeah.
It's like really nice.
Yeah, for sure.
Just to like, find ways to like do things that just make you feel like you're doing something special for yourself. Isn't really extravagant.
I'm still figuring out what that is, obviously, but like slowly getting better at it, I think.
Are you leaning one way? Like, do you think it's like a trip or like being out with friends or?
I think it's like being either out alone, like by a lake. Jesus Christ.
That sounds nice.
Yeah.
Sounds like a nice place to get murdered.
Yeah, exactly. I was like a Stephen King.
There's a KMS cardboard
cutout. It's just me in the woods with a knife.
Yeah. Or just like, unfortunately, it's the foundations are money, but like I really like clothes. Like, I really like either just, even just looking at clothes, it's like a, this is good. This is a good shirt.
Yeah.
That's like the height of enthusiasm for me.
Sometimes
he'll just do something. He'll just show me something in the office and just be like, this is good.
This is pretty good.
I'm slowly trying to figure it. Like, I was playing Super Mario Odyssey on the Switch. And that was like, I made a note to specifically only do that and not be looking at my phone or not even listen to like music in the background, just like listen to the in-game music, which, by the way, the Forest Kingdom, what a bop. Okay.
And a little bit more, and this isn't mean because it's going to sound obnoxious, because I was going to say a more prolific version of that story is I was listening to Oprah and Gwyneth Paltrow's Goop podcast, Gwyneth's.
Yeah.
And Oprah was talking about Maya Angelou, like telling her to like stay in the present, and like how, and like meditation too, it's just all about being in the present. And you know, and anxiety often is just fear of the future and like not totally being able to control it. And like, that's an example of it, is in a bizarre way, just playing the video game without anything by it, just fully being in it, you experience it more, essentially.
Yeah, for sure. And it was like great. And I was like, the next day I was like, I think I said to you, like, playing Super Mario Odyssey is the most mindful thing I've done in like a year. Like, easily.
But you also seemed like you felt guilty about it. And I was like, why? Because if you enjoy something, then...
Right. I don't think I was like guilty about it. I was just like disappointed that was the fun thing versus
like something social.
Or not even like, I was like, it shouldn't have been the only thing.
Oh,
I should have had more mindful moments.
But that's another thing. It's like, as much as anxiety is about like fear of the future, it's also about like dwelling in regret of the past. And it's like, you can't, it is what it is. It happened already. So you have to just like decide you want to have more moments like that and just consciously do that.
This is the last thing I'll say about my scene, but like a lot of the conversations that I have with my therapist are like, she's like, why do you want to be in your 40s? Like, why do you want to know everything? And why are you so scared of not knowing anything and just learning things? And I was like, because Freud, like, because like, no, because like, you want to, like, if you know everything theoretically, like, and I'm not even saying that this is possible or logical, but like, if you know everything, then nothing can come like to you unprepared. Like, nothing will ever.
I'd say 99% of 40-year-olds know nothing.
I know, but like, nothing can ever be like too soon to you. Like, so like, you should just like relax and try to learn stuff. And I'm like, and stop trying to rush into retirement. Like, it doesn't make any sense.
I 100% disagree with that statement.
Really?
Of being like in your 40s and like having it figured out.
Yeah.
You obviously have more life experiences, and a lot of people like know more.
Yeah.
But there are just so many things, just in life in general, that you can't prepare for.
Totally.
I think wishing you were older is fear of the present, you know,
Of
like that things are going to happen that you aren't like ready for emotionally, maybe, or mentally. And so basically you're saying like you want to skip that part, the experience part, and basically have the wisdom and the experience.
But then you won't ever get to that point because you didn't experience all the things.
It's cool that you guys both have such grounded views.
God.
No, I'm just kidding.
It's cool that we both disagree with you.
Okay, season two of Worst Case Scenario is one, all about the segments, and two, all about the production value. This is Yusung asked Rebecca to say something nice about him.
Oh my God.
I'm upset! Say it louder! I'm upset!
Okay, that was the scene from Whiplash where he's I'm upset. Okay.
Oh, cool. The production value is great,
man. I thought we were using that sting for a totally different segment, but you just wanted to use that sound effect.
Yeah, I just really wanted to use that sound effect.
I wasn't prepared, but I'll come up with something.
Okay. Yeah.
You're a very considerate friend. You help when I needed help with something and you helped me.
That has been Yusung asked Rebecca to say something nice.
I feel like my stomach hurts now.
Okay, and now this is our last segment. This is moderate case scenario for gradual self-improvement. This is a segment where we'll talk about what we'll do in the upcoming weeks to fix our anxieties, or at least become a better at dealing with them. And just improving our general lives. Okay.
Can I add a guest compliment too? I'm playing with your format. I apologize.
Please do.
I'm sorry. I should have said it earlier after you just set up another segment.
Yeah.
I think you have a great positive energy that most people take for granted. And they just see that as like, that's just like a normal thing. But it's not a normal thing, especially in LA, to have like a good energy that people want to be around. And then this is a compliment for both of you. This is like, this is a very important podcast. Like, there should be a thousand more podcasts.
Oh,
that's the nicest thing.
That's so nice.
You guys are like the Mr. Rogers of podcasting right now.
That's the nicest thing anyone's ever said
to me
in my whole fucking life.
It's well
earned. We rolling?
I saw that documentary the other day. It was
same.
Ooh, emotional.
I cried.
I did too.
I have not seen it. Okay.
You should. It's.
I know. I really like
it's
everyone.
Thing
has...
we have in common.
It's really touching.
Okay. I cannot believe this, but what I'm about to say is like for anyone with anxiety or depression, my honestly biggest piece of advice to anyone in the world right now is to make your bed. Like
yes.
Ooh, that's a good one.
Did we talk about this?
Yeah, we talked about this on the first episode.
Or, it wasn't like a normal conversation we had.
And I've been doing it every morning.
It's great.
Yeah.
It's really good.
It's really good because I was like really thinking good. About why it helps, and I was like, empirically, you are doing something to benefit yourself later on.
So like, this was something that you were going to work on, and you've actually worked on it.
Yeah.
And it's helping.
Yeah.
Oh my God,
isn't it crazy?
It's happening.
Yeah, season two is all about actually,
results. Yeah, season two is about results.
This is a very Machiavellian approach to
better
mental health.
Yeah.
And beyond that, I'm just going to slowly, I don't know, go to more malls. Like figure
Whoa,
out no. Just like you know what I mean, like go look at more clothes and
okay.
Just try to figure out what I enjoy because
are
that's,
you and you can edit this out if this is too personal
yeah.
But do you feel like you're in a place where like if you went to the mall and if you bought stuff you'd be okay. It wouldn't be a, like, okay, now I have to work.
I think I would have to work on it because I'd be like, I feel guilty for spending money. That would be the only thing.
So it's more guilt. Right?
Yeah.
Then I would say you should go to this, like, I went to Crossroads for the first time.
Oh, yeah. I live near Crossroads, yeah.
And I don't know, now I'm just, like, literally airing out all my, like, personal expenses. But I'm the same way. I'm very, like, tedious with that. And was just, like, I'm buying a shit ton of stuff. And I never... I buy clothes, like, every 6 to 7 months. I kind of do it in bulk. And I don't doing that because I now, too, am, like, getting more into, like, fashion. Just, like, fascinated by it and, like, what it says about culture and, like, the different things that people wear.
Yeah, I watched the minimalism documentary.
Yeah, that one's really fascinating, which is also a great excuse to not make your apartment look cool.
Yeah.
It's like, well, you know, minimalism.
I used to say that, but people were like, you're such a liar.
It was just, like, I was just saying to a friend the other day, like, minimalism easily can mask laziness.
Yeah. 100%.
It's like a thoughtful way of saying... I just don't care.
Yeah.
You know,
it varies person to person, but yeah.
I think in there's a lot of people who practice minimalism and it works for them. And I try to practice it with certain things. And yeah, you can wear the same thing every, like, I have a friend that wears almost the same thing every day.
Yeah.
And like different people's apartments too, like, just have a chair and, like, the couch for minimalism reasons. And for them it works, but then I also know people that are doing it similar things where I'm like, no, you're trying to sound like you're trying to give an excuse that sounds like I should respect it, you know?
Yeah.
I'm just shitting on minimalism.
The last time we talked about the minimalism documentary was in season one.
Yeah.
And
Yusung
was like, have you seen it? And we talked about it. And I ended up also kind of shitting on minimalism a little bit. I support it to an extent, but I also think sometimes it's like, people can get very like culty about it and then make you feel bad.
Those guys in particular too are so fascinating. I listened to their podcast for like a year before that documentary came out and followed their blog for a period of time, and it's very like upper class straight white male, and I think they bring that up because people do say like, hey, this sounds like kind of a thing rich people can do.
Like veganism for a lot of people.
Yeah. And as a vegan who struggles.
A struggle.
It's interesting. Like, I think, you know, like a lot of things that works for some people and then other people use it as an excuse.
Yeah. I did do this thing, while not like super minimalist, I put away a lot of my clothes. Like, I put away everything, but, like...
That works, I think.
Yeah. Just as a method of organization. And I remember being, like, so happy as I was doing it.
You, like, put them in a sort of inaccessible
place. Yeah. Just, like, in a cabinet somewhere. Because it, like, it removed a few choices, like, from every morning, and that, I feel like,
it's helps. That's also a good test when you're... Because I have a problem where I have too many clothes, because I get emotionally attached to things. But... if I just, like, put things away for an extended period of time and I don't think about them for, like, a year and I forget I had them, I probably didn't like them that much that I can sell them and thrift them or whatever.
Well, I'm really monopolizing moderate case scenario for gradual self-improvement.
No, you're not. It's fine.
I mean, that's a really interesting conversation to have, and it totally links to anxiety, too.
Yeah.
What about you? What do you...
I try to do a better job of keeping my place clean, and that was, like, the benefit of not having a lot of shit was, like...
Yeah.
Cleaning was just like, okay, the cup's in the sink now. Like, my place is clean. But now trying to have more stuff, aka like trying to look or like have like an adult apartment now that's not just like the chair and a TV. Cleaning is like, you know, like most people growing up, like it's a project and it takes like half a day on the weekend if you want it to like look nice. But it is it feels like it relates to like how you feel mentally. Like, I feel so much better after spending 2-3 hours like vacuuming, cleaning the counters, like putting all my clothes away, making that bag that's like, okay, here's 6 shirts I haven't worn in 3 years that are always the first thing I see in the closet for some reason. But I think
Coachella 2015.
Yeah. I don't like a World Series thing that's like, I don't even like baseball. So yeah, I think there's definitely a way to do that that like helps you mentally. Conversely, I had a like belief that was probably also out of laziness. If I'm gonna like shit on minimalists, I should shit on myself. I had like two or this was probably just like by chance, and then I like made it a superstition. When I was like making music or doing a lot of writing, basically like artistic endeavors, the first two or three times I was doing it in LA, where it was like 6 p.m. till like 2 a.m., just like totally jumping in, my place was a mess because I wasn't focused on it. So I was just like eating and putting a plate there and then putting on sweatpants and throwing the pants I was wearing on the couch. And so I was like achieving so much artistically and my place looked like a mess. So then I used that as an excuse to just have it stay as like a pigsty every time I was doing something creative. And, you know, for some people that's like a, they like fall into the, like, well, this is my superstition. It has to look like shit.
There's all these like Huffington Post, like clickbait articles of like why creative people have messy spaces.
Why
like,
Van Gogh never washed
Yeah, what
dishes,
your messy desk says about your artistic mind. There's something to it, but it's, I think it's kind of bullshit. I think it.
Go ahead. Oh, no. It's like a. There was like this such like this great, and I'm rolling my eyes already at myself, but like I've never read Philip Roth, but there was such like this great like obituary of Philip Roth in I think The Atlantic of like, it was like the death of genius, where it was like in the future, artists will talk with us, not at us, and it'll be much less woozily romantic, like woozily romantic in the way of like, you don't have to be tortured. It's become more of a dialogue versus a
right, you
monologue.
Don't have to be like a total disaster.
It was really well written. Everyone should.
And I think artists probably have seen that stereotype of like, oh, I have to be sloppy and maybe lean into that in a way that like there's a lot of very artistic people that like make their bed every morning, you know, like kind of keep their place clean. It's very fascinating.
So trying to make that balance where you're actually staying organized, but also pursuing your creative stuff.
Yeah, pursuing creative stuff without like being embarrassed when someone says like, I'm at the door and I look at my place and I'm like, give me 7 minutes.
I don't think I've ever related to anything as much as what you just said, honest. I know, because I'm the exact same way.
Rebecca, how about you?
Honestly, the same, because I've been working on organization, and it's something I've been talking about with my therapist of like just making my space clean. And it's something I've been working on, I feel like, my whole life, because I'm like a naturally messy person, but like I've been doing better. I reorganized my whole wardrobe last weekend, and like this weekend I have a whole bunch of other stuff I'm supposed to like reorganize, and I haven't done it yet, and it's already Sunday, but I'm trying not to be too hard on myself. But also, so that's one thing. Also balancing like finding how to devote time to that while also doing creative things, and a big thing is writing stuff down. So I've been working on like making lists and actually visualizing the things I have to do rather than letting them build up in my mind to an extent where it's so overwhelming and unmanageable that I feel it makes me physically sick. So I have like a lot of avoidance issues. So like I'll let things build up in my head, and then I'll have physical manifestations of my anxiety where like I feel like I'm coming down with something, or I can't sleep or whatever. Or I have a panic attack. So I've just been making lists and like looking at it, and then just like, or as soon as something, like if I get a medical bill in the mail, or if like I know my credit card bill is due, like I'll immediately take care of it. Like, emails me and I like try to immediately respond to it, because I'm really bad at that. And I still have like, I'm supposed to respond to somebody about something, and like was supposed to read something and send it. And like, it's been like almost 3 weeks. And like, it's making me feel like, even just thinking about it now, I'm like getting really sweaty, because I'm just like thinking about it. I was supposed to already do it. So
can I tell you a really specific thing that I'm going through that is like exactly that scenario?
It's cool that you guys are experiencing the same hardship.
Yeah, so let us just have this moment.
Yeah, can you just
get
quiet for
get a water or something? Go buy some coasters at Costco. There's a complete stranger who tweeted at me that asking if I could read his script.
Oh my god.
Yeah, and I've kind of been like playing along because he called me Jeff Kevin instead of Chef Kevin, and I was like, oh, this might be sweet. I could like read his script, and the whole thing is based off of like he misheard Chef. Uh-huh. And so he like emailed me his script, and I've been pushing it off for weeks, a lot of time in that way of it's like in my work inbox, and so because I don't see it as work, I just don't respond. Yeah. And I'll say, oh, I'll get to it next week, and I'll, you know, I'm definitely going to look at it. And I haven't. And then so the other day, on Friday, I'm a drummer, and I read drumming, like, publications. And this this very successful, popular magazine called Modern Drummer, the... I'm really throwing out shots right now. One of the editor wrote this article describing about just kind of like this existential thing about publications and specifically drumming publications. And he said, you know,
but what is 6/8 time?
Yeah, exactly. That's all it was trying to figure out a time signature. But he said, we've been around since 1977. There's been new publications since then that have been really good. Others, unfortunately, focusing on things like gender issues, fashion, blah, blah, blah. And as a feminist, unfortunately, gender issues really rubbed me the wrong way.
Totally.
I got like pissed.
Yeah.
So I wrote them an email and just said, like, I was wondering if you could explain what you meant by unfortunately gender issues, because it seems like... The lack of focus on women in drumming and music in general seems like a thing that should absolutely be focused on.
Totally.
Yeah. So I was just wondering if you could explain it. Thank you so much. I'm, you know, almost 100% certain they won't respond. Mm-hmm. And so I'm going to like tweet at them the screenshot where I circled unfortunately and like sent it to a few friends saying like, can you believe this? Probably later this week saying like, hey, Modern Drummer, was hoping you can respond to my email explaining unfortunately.
That's awesome.
In the back of my head, I know I never responded to that guy who was like, you know, just wondering if you could. I have that same thing.
Yeah.
I'm like, I'm going to call someone out for fully doing the same thing, like not responding.
Yeah, totally. That's awesome, by the way.
Yeah.
People should definitely,
yeah.
It's crazy that they said that.
It's so fucked up. Like, I love the irony of modern drummer.
And there are like cool female drummers right now, actually.
So many.
Yeah.
And there's a awesome publication that I'm assuming he was trying to call out called Tom Tom, which everyone should check out, and it's all about female drummers.
Oh, awesome.
So saying like unfortunately focusing on was ridiculous. Anyway, just relating to the fear and frustration of not responding to stuff that you should, which is so funny because I feel like as podcast producers, which we all are and everyone can relate to, so much of our job is saying, hey, just following up because people don't respond. So it's just funny like being annoyed with people.
Yeah.
And then you turn around and you do
the same exact thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I learned it from you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it's like, it's funny when you said like, about the person that asked you to read the thing where you're like, oh, I'll do it next week. The amount of times that I've said about things that didn't happen for like 2 years, I'll do it next week.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's so crazy how next week is like this sort of nonsense term that like doesn't end up meaning anything. It loses all meaning because you say it so many times and you don't realize how fucking fast the week goes and how fast the weekend goes. Like, you have all these plans. Like, I feel like I have very high like expectations of what I'm going to accomplish in a weekend, and then it doesn't end up happening because it's not organized. Like, and then next week turns into next week turns into next week, and then it's like a year later, and the thing didn't get done. You know what I mean?
I try to be like specifically lately, like kind of brutally honest with myself, and that's a poor example of telling this guy like, hey, next week. Because sometimes I'll send messages like that to put a deadline on myself. Even if I don't want to do it, I'll be like, all right, that'll be done tomorrow. And I'm like, great, now this has to be done tomorrow.
Yeah.
But the thing with that, I wish I'm asking myself, You know, and this is specifically with non-work related stuff, like asking myself, how much do I really care about this thing?
Right.
Like, do I really, really want to do this thing? And if not, is this a thing that I can say, you know, that was the whole like Oprah thing is like the power of saying no to things. Mm-hmm. It's right. Like you feel a pressure to say yes to everything.
I think there's a lot of power in like taking
Nopra.
Control. Yeah.
Nopra.
There's a lot of power so in like deciding to like say no to things when in recognizing when you're spread too thin and mm-hmm. like not feeling guilty about saying no. At the same time, on the flip side, in terms of what's important to you, when it's stuff that's not like your own creative pursuits and stuff, for me, I'm trying to be better about like making my word be important to me. And
yeah.
so if mm-hmm. I gave someone my word that I would do something,
that's so good.
Then I feel that's when I feel really terrible about not, even if the act of whatever it is itself is not important in my life, the fact that I gave my word should be important to me so that mm-hmm. I don't ever want people to think of me and their first thought to be, oh, she never does what she says she's going to do.
And yeah. so many people are
people do that all the time,
yeah.
especially in LA. It's like,
yeah. yeah, they're just like naturally
just
flaking.
Bullshit artists and like
I think it's because it's easier to say like, oh, so sorry, than it right. is to say, I'm not going to that.
Definitely. Right. And people also want to be accommodating and you want to believe that you're going to do it, right?
Yeah.
So you want people to, especially in entertainment when everyone's like, everything's about favors and relationships and like mm-hmm. people ask you something and you want to believe that if you ask someone, they would do it for you. So if they ask you, you're like, of course, yeah, I'll do
yeah.
it. And then right. you go home and you're like, fuck, why did I say that? I don't want to do that. And I have all this stuff, but I said I did, I would. So mm-hmm. you fucking have to. Otherwise your word is bullshit.
Yeah.
And then, yeah. yeah.
Something like tangentially related when it is your creative pursuit, like this happened last week and I was like floored by it. I had like sent a first draft of a short film to some people and like, and then it like, I got some initial reactions and then like everyone kind of stopped, like everyone just moved on, right? Like, mm-hmm. and went back to their normal lives. And then someone like a few nights ago was like, hey, out of the blue, like send me the draft of that. The second draft when you're finished. And I was so nice. I was like the most touched I've ever been. And I was like,
because even getting someone to read the first draft of something is such a feat that
yeah,
someone
yeah.
reaching
that someone
out and
cared,
being like, I'll read your like, second draft is like,
Jesus.
Wow.
So I just wrote it that night because I was like, yeah.
yeah,
I have to. Like, yeah. So if you're in that like that position of support that you can lend to someone else, like for
right.
sure. Like I'm trying to figure out if I can do that to other people.
Yeah, exactly. And then like when you know that that's been done for you and you know
yeah.
how fucking good it feels, it's like you want to give that good feeling to someone else because it's like there's nothing like better than that. And then like you want to be able to deliver on that promise, you know?
That is so crucial, like unconditionally giving support to people because yeah,
yeah.
when you are in a tough situation, like several like months ago when I was dumped, I was like so devastated. It was after that weekend of like complete isolation. So it was like nonstop anxiety and then being dumped. I'd never been dumped before. So I was like experiencing that new feeling as well. Just like so much sadness. And then just like so many people were like, hey man, I'm coming over right now. We're going to chat. And it was basically like a week of friends being there for me.
Yeah.
And all of them were like, dude, you did like the exact same thing to me.
Yeah.
And then you kind of realize like, oh, I need to make sure I'm always doing this for my friends because like if I'm ever in a really like hard, like difficult situation, they
right.
do the same.
Right.
Yeah.
And it just, yeah, it's so important. Just, I guess that's the whole pay it forward thing of like
yeah.
just putting good energy out all the time and making sure that like, yeah, I find that hard because it's
yeah.
just hard to do, but it feels good.
Yeah. Well, this has easily been the most productive moderate case scenario.
This
has been
really great. Thank you
yeah,
so
thank
much.
Yeah, thank you so
for
much for doing this.
Yeah.
Where can people find you?
On Twitter at Kevin J. Bartelt and Instagram at Kev Bartelt. What was this last segment called again? It was
moderate case scenario for gradual self-improvement.
Okay. I want to say one real quick, too.
Oh,
okay, yeah.
Yeah,
yeah.
Talk to people a lot.
Mm-hmm.
When you feel anxious, have people that you call, and then like the whole thing that we were just describing, like do the same for them and like listen to what they have to say, because a lot of people will like, you will talk and then I just had this recently, you will talk and or like they, a friend called me, was in a difficult situation, and then just did not want to take my advice. So every time I said like, you should not do this, like he said, well, I'm thinking about telling this, I'm thinking I'm going to say this. I'm like, absolutely not. Yeah. And then just for the next 30 minutes, basically tried to tell me like, but I, that's what I should do. And at one point I just said, yeah, you absolutely should do that. Yeah. You should totally do that. And then like kind of hung up because I was like, I'm not, so you're not listening.
Yeah.
So yeah, talk to people when you feel down or stressed, and then do the same for them.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Agree.
Well, that's it for this episode.
Yeah.
Thanks for tuning in.
Thanks, thanks for having me.
Yeah.
This was so fun.
We'll be back next week. Thanks for listening to this episode of Worst Case Scenario. Kevin was so great.
Yeah, that was awesome.
There's one thing that I want to say during the episode that when he was saying like I had a positive energy, I was like, yeah, I'm like a eighth grade camp counselor. Like that's how I generally thanks for listening. Please give us a rating and review. It really helps a lot.
Yeah, that would be awesome. I like having guests. We should do this more.
We should do this more often.
Send us an email if you're anxious or if you hate us or if you just want to say hi.
We'll respond within a week.
Yes, yeah. We will. We said we will and we will.
We said we will and we will. And we've done that in the past, I think.
It's worstcasescenariopod@gmail.com.
Yeah. You can follow us on Instagram, worstcasescenariopod, and on Twitter. We'll try to update that more often.
What's our Twitter again? I don't remember.
Worstcasepod.
It's worstcasepod.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Anyway, our music was done by @notalent__ on Twitter. You should definitely check him out. And our art was done by @artbyroughhouse. That's RUFFHOUSE on Instagram. You should check her out too.
We'll see you next time.
We'll see you next time.
Bye. Bye.